Brother Dennis's service again this morning is More Than Servants with a Testimony. Brother Dennis.
Good morning, brethren. It's a great privilege to be here this morning to have fellowship and worship the Lord with you. To start off today, I want to say one thing about the devotion service, and that is, you've already heard what I want to talk to you about. Brother Aaron's choice of songs is my talk in song. And I find that both kind of a bewildering thing, how that happens sometimes, but it's also a blessing to see the Lord's leading and direction in that manner. I do want to bring with you the love of my wife, Sister Gracia. She would love to be here, but circumstances are such that she was not able to come this time. Also, the love of your brethren in St. Petersburg, Florida, especially Sister Elizabeth Hagensick, wanted her love sent to you, as did Brother Ed and Sister Jean Toby. Numerous times told me to bring their love to the brethren here. If you have not yet had an opportunity to read the article that went with today's manifest, I would encourage you to do so. It was a great blessing to me to have the opportunity to read that this morning. The thought that of my text came from a t-shirt that a co-worker was wearing one day. On the front of it, it said, God's SWAT Team. And on the back, it said, Servants with a Testimony. So I said, where did you get the shirt and what does it mean? He says, I went to some retreat and I'm not sure what it means. He had the testimony of the t-shirt, but he didn't have the testimony within his heart. Let's turn to John chapter 3, verses 31 to 36. This is a text, or a portion of this text, was on the t-shirt that this person was wearing. John chapter 3, verses 31 to 36. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. This is a very beautiful text of our precious Master and the experience that he had prior to his coming to the earth and the commission that he was given. He was given to come to have a testimony and to tell and to speak the words of our Heavenly Father. But the last verse I didn't read, because that verse includes us in this as well. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Brethren, we are included in this commission as we have sung to tell forth God's love and his mercy. We are to tell forth the words of our Heavenly Father. Brother Russell in reprint 4840 gives us a little more insight on this last verse, reprint 4840. The believer referred to in this text is the one who believes with the heart, not merely one with an intellectual appreciation of the fact that Christ is the Son of God. So, brethren, what is a testimony? Well, according to Webster's, a testimony is a solemn declaration or affirmation made for the purpose of establishing or proving some fact. Such affirmation in judicial proceedings may be either verbal or written, but they have to be made under an oath. Brother, we have an oath which we are living under, and our testimony should be a declaration to establish and to prove the plan that God has given for the redemption of mankind. Webster goes on, and he defines this as a testimony differs from evidence. A testimony is the declaration of a witness, and evidence is the effect of that declaration on the mind or the degree of light which it affords. Brethren, it's one thing to have a testimony. Many of our friends that attend various churches have testimonies, but they don't have the evidence of the Holy Spirit ruling and moving in their lives. Many of them have a proclamation or a declaration of their love for our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. But when we think of us being servants with more than just a testimony, we have more than just the spoken proclamation that we love the Lord. We also have that evidence. We also have that influence upon our hearts and upon our minds of the Holy Spirit. When I read this definition, I immediately thought of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And it gives both aspects of this definition of the testimony and the evidence. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is that essence of the things that we hope for. It's the assurance of what we have. And many of our friends have a hope. They have that testimony of faith, but they don't have the evidence of things not seen. They don't see the purpose in God's plan for the redemption of all of mankind. They see a God of love and of mercy for those that love Him, and a God of wrath and of anger if you do not follow after our Heavenly Father. A testimony can further be described as an affirmation or declaration. It's also, a testimony is defined as our profession. What it is that we believe. And in Mark chapter 6, we also find a testimony defined a little differently as a witness. In Mark chapter 6, it tells us if we go into someone's house and they don't accept us, they don't accept the testimony that we have, then we are to shake the dust off our feet when we leave as a testimony against them, as a witness against them. Brethren, testimonies could be either good or bad. Today we hope to focus on those testimonies which edify our Heavenly Father and our dear Redeemer. So, what should our testimony be? Our testimony should be a proclamation, a declaration of our faith. It should be a opportunity to show forth our devotion and our love toward our Heavenly Father. Brother Russell, in reprint 4008, tells us that the testimony meeting is one of a very important meeting for us to have during our order of services. And here he says, gives us a little insight on how he feels and on how possibly several other brethren at that time felt. Reprint 4008, many, we are sure, if obliged to choose one kind of meeting only, would vote for the testimony meeting, or else that the testimony feature be made an important part of some other meeting. Let us remember that this is much of the kind of meeting described by the Apostle in the early church as, quote, when we come together, end quote, taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. Brother Russell saying testimonies are so important that it should be, and according to him it would be, the only meeting that they would come together to have if we could only have one type of meeting. But in volume 6, he tells us that when we give a testimony, it should be an expression of our devotion to the Lord. And it shouldn't be something that occurred 20 years ago, but it should be an up-to-date report of the condition of our hearts. Our testimonies are very important. And it's important that we keep our heart condition up-to-date and share the blessings and the overrulings of the Lord on our behalf with our brethren. Matter of fact, it's so important that in Luke chapter 12, verses 11 and 12, Luke tells us that if we are of the proper heart condition, if we have studied, if we have sought after the Lord and communicated with Him, we have a very precious promise. Luke chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. And when they bring you into the synagogues and unto the magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what things ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Spirit shall teach you in that same hour what you ought to say. Brethren, if we are living in a condition where we're more than just a servant with a testimony, if we're more than just someone that has an outward proclamation of the Lord's blessing and overruling in our life, the Holy Spirit will teach us what we need to say in the time of need. Our testimony should also be that of an ambassador. An ambassador is the highest ranking official that a state or a country can send to a foreign country. And he is sent there to manage the public concerns for the entity that he is representing. And he is there and he has the full power of representing the power and dignity of his sovereign. Brethren, we too must conduct ourselves, and our testimony must be that of an ambassador. We are God's chosen people. He has selected us to manage the public affairs here in earth at this time. He has given us the power to represent His power and His dignity. I used to work with a fellow that we were going through the training process after I first started on the job, and he was my mentor. And he was a lay minister in a Assemblies of God church there where we live. And one morning he came in and he was very discouraged. And I said, "Lou, what happened? What's wrong this morning?" Because he was always upbeat and very positive. He said, "Well, I had a bad experience last night." He says, "A neighbor came over and he was very angry with something that one of my children did. And he said, I lost my cool." He says, "I didn't lose my religion, but I did lose my testimony." And I said, "I'm not sure I understand what you meant by what you mean when you say you didn't lose your religion, but you lost your testimony." He says, "Right now there is nothing I can say to show my neighbor God's love and his mercy. As far as my neighbor is concerned, I have lost my testimony." And that was a very sobering thought for me. How often have I lost my testimony by acting inappropriately or acting somewhat less than an ambassador? An ambassador, according to the definition I read, is someone that's very ordinary if they're permanently in the foreign country that they are an ambassador for. By that, they're not someone that would stick out. They're not someone that would necessarily, if you saw them walking down the street, you would know of the importance of their position. And I thought of how we are just pilgrims and strangers here. We're nothing ordinary. If you pass someone on the street, you know, you don't know what degree that God is dealing with them or God is working in their lives. But it went on to say, if this person is sent to a foreign country for a special occasion, they're very extraordinary. And I thought of our future and how when we're sent as new creatures, once we have made our calling and election sure, and we're sent back to the earth for the express purpose of helping mankind up the highway of holiness, what an extraordinary event that will be. In Philippians chapter 3:20, scripture that I've read many times, but it wasn't until studying for this discourse that I understood a new aspect to this scripture. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Brethren, this word conversation in this verse is actually citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. Once we consecrate ourselves to the Lord, then our citizenship becomes a heavenly citizenship. And we truly are just pilgrims and strangers here. We truly are an ambassador for the Lord in our daily lives. In Ephesians chapter 6, here the Apostle Paul, in speaking to the Ephesian brethren, tells them, you know, earlier in the verse 11 and 12, he says, you know, you need to know who your enemy is. You know, we're not fighting against the various flesh and blood that we see from time to time, but we're fighting against principalities and powers. We're fighting against our adversary, the devil. And then he goes on in verse 13 to 17, tells them how to dress, how to attire themselves. and that is to put on the whole armor of God. And then in verse 18, Paul asks a favor of the brethren in Ephesus. Verses 18 through 20 of Ephesians 6. Praying always with all supplication, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I can almost hear some brother or some sister saying, but Paul, you're already in jail for talking. Why would we pray that you would even speak more boldly? Why would we pray that you would even have the power that you might open your mouth? It's already gotten you in so much trouble. Can't you just let this die off? But brethren, Paul had more than just a testimony. He had the plan of God that he wanted to share with those that he met. He's asking that each one of them keep in constant communication with their Heavenly Father, not just for his behalf, but for all of the brethren. But he's saying, I need to open my mouth because I'm an ambassador. I've got to show forth the Spirit of the Lord. I've got to show forth his desire, his want, what he wants each of us to do. It's only as we are in constant communication with our Heavenly Father that we can accurately report these desires of the one that has called us. Our testimony, brethren, also must be one that defends this gospel. As we defend this gospel, we are standing up and we're proclaiming the words and the love for our Heavenly Father, but we're also sharing more of ourselves with the people that we're talking with. We're showing what he can do within a person's life. And we're showing the influence of his Spirit upon us, our hearts and our minds. We need to defend this gospel that testifies of Christ and declares the will of our Heavenly Father. How do we do this? Paul tells us how he does it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And here he gives us a very important checklist that I think that it would be wise for us to look at when we consider our own testimonies and our own daily life. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you a testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak the wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden mystery which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Paul gave us an example here of how he speaks. of how he lives his daily life. It's not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. And brethren, there's time to use $3 words. If your job is one that in which very technical terms need to be used, then it's appropriate to use technical terms. But when it comes to discussing the Lord and his working in our lives, I think the more plainly we can state it, the better off we are. If we use words that people don't understand or cannot comprehend, then our testimony doesn't mean anything. The Apostle Paul says so much when he was talking to the Corinthians about speaking in tongues. Where's the edification if the person can't understand what you're saying? But brethren, we need to speak very plainly. We need to speak in terms that the person we're talking with can understand. The apostle went on to say, in his example given here, we don't need to know all the intricate details of someone's life. All we need to know is Jesus Christ and him crucified. If we strive to know Christ, then all the other things our Heavenly Father is going to take care of those. He's going to manage those in the person's life. Paul said, I was with you in weakness. And most commentaries feel that what he was saying is here, when I was ill, when I was sick, I was still with you. I still came to be with you, to instruct you, to help you in your walk with our Heavenly Father. We too, brethren, need to be instant in season and out of season. If we are not feeling well, it doesn't mean that we can say, oh, I can't do it now. But we need to press, ask for the Lord's overruling, and continue on. Paul said, I was with you in fear and in much trembling. When situation looked dire and we couldn't understand how it was going to turn out, Paul says, I was still with you. Even though things looked fearful, I still came to be with you. He says, he reiterates again, I didn't do this with enticing words of man's wisdom, but through the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And in the last verse we read, brethren, Paul gives us a very important suggestion of what he does, and I think what we need to do. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden mystery, the hidden wisdom. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That should be the heartthrob of our testimony and our dealing with people. Trying to seek out and that last few grains of wheat gleaning through the fields to see which one the Lord is dealing with and which one is seeking to know his will. Paul later in 2 Timothy chapter 1 gives another list as he's instructing Timothy on how he should act. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 through 10, For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, But be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. For who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. As we are trying to live our lives above that of just an outwardly proclaiming our love for the Lord, the Apostle Paul tells us here we need to do it in power, in love, and a sound mind, because that's what our Heavenly Father has given us. We need to be willing to be partakers of the affliction of the gospel. If your profession, your beliefs cause you heartaches and hardships, thank the Lord for it, that you're able to partake of the affliction of this gospel. We need to realize that who it is that saved us, who it is that called us with a holy calling, not because we deserved it, but according to his own purpose and grace. And he has given us Jesus Christ, our example, our master, that we could have a share and be partakers of this beautiful plan. Jesus, the one who hath brought life and immortality to light through this gospel. Brethren, the Word of God is a very precious thing. And as David records in Psalms 19, verse 7, David tells us exactly how he feels. Psalms 19, verse 7, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. God's testimony, and the word testimony here is evidence. The evidence of God in our life is sure, and he will make wise those that are simple. We are also to defend this gospel, as David records in Psalms 119, verse 119. Here David says, I love thy testimony. The word love here is actually affection. Lord, I have affection for thy testimonies. Well, that doesn't sound real convincing to say you have affection for the Lord's word. But later on in the 119th chapter, in verse 167, he boisters this a little bit. Psalms 119, verse 167, my soul has kept thy testimonies. I love them exceedingly. My affection for your word, for your that testimony that you have given to us. Yes, it's an affection, but I love it exceedingly, or as Strong describes it, vehemently. Above all measures is our love for God's word. Brethren, what is the responsibilities of having a proper testimony? Well, as we said, a testimony is more than just the words that we say. Our testimony includes everything about us. The way we act, the words we say, and the way we conduct ourselves every moment of every day. John In 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, he tells us that this testimony we have has got to be more than just the words we speak. 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And his commandments have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Brethren, if we're going to outwardly proclaim that we love God and we want to do God's will, then we're going to manifest a love for all of our brethren. We're going to manifest this love for those whom God has called. If we love God, we're going to love our brother also. In other words, brethren, actions speak louder than words. If we're going to proclaim it with our lips, let our actions portray that. To have a responsible testimony, we also need to be responsible for each other. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 9, you all know the story, how that Cain slayed his brother Abel. And then the Lord asked Cain in verse 9, Genesis 4, 9, the Lord said, well, Cain, where is your brother Abel? He said, well, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? The answer to that, brethren, is yes, we are. And we find that answer in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Because Jesus laid down his life, this gift that God has given us, the gift of his Son, because his Son laid down his life, we ought also to lay down our life for our brethren. To have a proper testimony, we also need to be that of having a proper conduct and character. Psalms chapter 50, verse 23. David writes here in Psalms chapter 50, verse 23, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. If I could read this again using the Strong's definitions for a few words. Whosoever offereth adoration honors me, and to him that sets the course of his life in order will I show the salvation of God. To seek, to know, to do God's perfect will in our life is one aspect of having a proper testimony. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, Peter writes to us here and he says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be holy as I am holy. Brethren, our testimony should be of God's plan for man's redemption through Christ. But it also needs to include with it a holy life showing forth the influence of the Spirit of God in our hearts and in our minds. It is to spring forth with our devotion and our love to our Heavenly Father. What we say is important, but what we do is as or even more important. We are more than servants with an intellectual knowledge of God's plan. We also have His Spirit influencing us, directing our actions, and teaching us the necessary lessons to be perfect as He is perfect. May the Lord add His blessings.